that we live our life. And these are things that not only change your actions, but it changes the way that you see yourself, the way that you see people, even somewhat of the way that you see God. And many of us struggle because whether we realize it or not, these questions are often before us, but we don't even realize. These few weeks are going to challenge us to open our eyes and to really internalize these questions that often define the way that we live. So we'll be challenged with things over the next few weeks, like choosing surrender over control, choosing discipline over regret, and choosing the important over the urgent. I am super excited about this series. But today we're going to start with the question of purpose. And for me, I struggle with this idea of a purpose because for a lot of us, the thing that we pursue is what often defines our lives. The things that we choose to make the most important in our lives is how we invest our time, how we invest our money, how we invest just the way that we care. And so as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the things that I have invested my time and my money and even just my hopes and aspirations and have thought about what would a world look like. Oh, the cordless mic just died. So it did. So this is going to be interesting. I'm thinking I may stand here while somebody fixes my battery, because what are the chances that Jordan can stand still for 40 minutes? We all know that that is a pipe dream. So I've been thinking about the kind of things that I have pursued myself, the things that I have chosen to make as the purposes of my life. And one of those things tends to be this dream, this greener pasture of popularity, of something that is a world where not only do people like me, but a world where I don't face criticism. Have you ever been there where you've wanted to live in a world where people praise you for who you are and love you for who you are? And wouldn't it be nice if we could just be constantly praised and where people aren't objecting to the way you're living your life or the choices that you make, but people are just fantastic and they just do nothing but love on you and support you and nobody hates you and life would just be smooth sailing. I think for a lot of us that is the dream that we often wish that we could achieve. For others of us, we may look to a mythical day when maybe you're in school right now, and trust me, I can relate. I'm like 6 weeks away. And it's rough. And so you may be thinking, maybe you're a teenager, maybe you're in college, and you're thinking, if I could just graduate, life will be so much easier. And I can get out of the house and away from my family. Things will be so much better. And so in your mind, that is what you're striving for. It's the greener pasture that you know is out there somewhere, maybe just beyond the river bend. Maybe you have kids. And it's like the flip side of this. You have kids and maybe you're longing for the day when the youngest one graduates so your house can be quiet for maybe the first time in years. Maybe that's the greener pasture that you have, or maybe you're in the middle of your career and you see the glimpse, the light maybe at the end of the tunnel, and maybe all that you can, all your hope and all your desire is placed into, once I retire, things will be better, things will be easier, my life will be on easy street now. But if you've ever been in one of those positions before and you've come out the other side, you'll know that oftentimes these mythical goals and dreams never really turn out the way that we expect. You know, graduating from high school was great. Graduating from college was wonderful. But let me just tell you, most of us know that it was not easy street. You know, I always hated when people would be like, you better enjoy your life in high school because it never gets any better. Well, It's not that it doesn't get better. It just it gets more complicated. And life will always have a level of complication. And if you start young, like many of us did, we're always pining for what was coming next. And I always found that the hardest thing for me is that I could never find the thing I was looking for, and I was constantly being pushed of my own desire to find something that would fulfill me. And even when I found the thing that I thought I desired, I would find that it was a moving line and that the thing that I really desired was always just a little bit further away. And as I've been thinking about this idea of purpose, I've been thinking about how God would have for me. Instead of chasing this dream where the grass is always just a bit greener on the other side, what if there was a world where you weren't always looking toward that greener pastures, but instead you were content and satisfied with where you were at? Imagine a world where what other people think of you doesn't drive you. What if there was a world where you could focus on serving God and pleasing Him so that other people's approval doesn't consume you? And the truth of it is that you will never really find the greener pastures to be quite as green as you always thought. And one of the most significant choices that you can make is instead of spending your life dedicated to someday finding that greener pasture that you've always sought, instead choosing God's purposes over greener pastures. You see, many of us default to greener pasture kind of thinking. We constantly and consistently chase after things or friendships or popularity or money or power or whatever it is that we feel wired to. And without consciously choosing it, it consumes us. And what you'll find with God's purposes is they aren't necessarily natural to choose these things. But what I will tell you is that when you choose these things, they are by far better. Because when you choose to chase after greener pastures, you will always find that you will be missing the fulfillment that you seek. Solomon, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, is an interesting guy. He wrote most of the book of Proverbs. And he wrote this book of Ecclesiastes toward the end of his life. And he talks about everything in his life that he's experienced. It's a retrospective on the things that he chased after in search of meaning. And anything that was available to him, he found. He had wisdom beyond anybody in the world. That was a whole biblical storyline that you'll see through 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. You'll see that was a divine gift that was given to him. But he also had riches. He was known as one of the most richest men in the world, and that his palace was resplendent. You'd see that foreign dignitaries loved him, and the people of Israel revered him. He had it all, and yet, he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, kind of as this is the beginning of it for me, he said, I observed everything going on under the sun, and really, it is all meaningless, like chasing after the wind. And I think if there's anybody that can truly say he had it all, it would be like him. He had every opportunity. He had all of the women that any man could ever hope. Actually, they say he had like 700 wives plus like 400 concubines. I can't even wrap my mind around that. Like, he had excess of everything, far beyond relationally, financially, popularity. He had it all. Anything that I think anybody could ever dream of, he achieved. And still, he said, at the end of the day, what I found was all of these things, the things I chased after and spent my life. And if you know the story of Solomon, you know that he ran away from God to serve other gods in hopes of attaining these things. He even talks about the food and drink that he was able to consume, the best that there was, and still he found that it was hollow and empty and meaningless. It wasn't until the end of his life that he realized that all of this chasing after the wind left him missing the best gifts that God had for him. And the same is true for us. When you don't know your real purpose in life, God's purpose for you, you will invariably find that you're missing the best gifts that God has for you. You will miss the best life that God has for you. So a core truth that I want you to take away this morning is that living for greener pastures will keep you from the purposes of God. Often these choices, whether to serve God and to live for his purposes and living for everything else that the world will tell you is important, these are mutually exclusive options. You can't serve two masters, Jesus said. The way of God is countercultural. It calls for us to make a choice: God's purposes or greener pastures. If you have your Bibles, there's a chapter in Hebrews, chapter 11, that is often called the Faith Hall of Fame. It goes through and accounts for many significant acts of faith of the people of God throughout history. It's an account of people that chose God's purposes, and specifically, there's one story that the author of Hebrews recounts, and he chose, instead of all of the things that the world had to offer, this man chose the ways and the purposes of God, and it made all of the difference to him. You may be familiar with him. His name is Moses. And Moses has an interesting story. If you don't know it, I'll kind of catch you up here. Moses was born at a time when his people, the Hebrews, were enslaved in Egypt. And when he was born, it was at a time when the Hebrew people, who became the people of Israel — this was before they had their own land and adopted the name Israel as a people — that they were prospering even though they were enslaved. And that really angered the king of Egypt. Pharaoh is what they called the king at this time. And so he would see them prospering and growing in both numerically, and they were strong people. And it was clear that God was blessing them, or at least the gods. They didn't have the understanding of one God. And so there was also, at this same time, there were rumblings of a deliverer that was going to be raised up to deliver the people of Israel, or the Hebrew people, out of bondage. And out of fear of this so-called deliverer, the Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 2 orders that every baby boy under the age of 2 must be slaughtered, because he had heard that one of these deliverers had already been born. And Moses, as it happens, was a newborn at this time. And in Hebrews 11, it tells us that his parents saw that Moses was unique, set aside by God, and instead of complying with Pharaoh, they hid him from the Egyptian soldiers. And when it became too difficult to hide him any longer — you probably know this part of the story — his mother put him in a basket and sent him down the Nile River. And he so happened to be encountered by the daughter of Pharaoh, who had compassion on him, who knew he was a Hebrew, but chose, instead of turning him over to her father, decided to raise him as her own. And she is the one that actually named him Moses, which meant, "I drew him out of the water." And so Moses was raised in extravagant wealth. In fact, scholars will say at the time, Egypt's wealth was second to none. In fact, in the ancient Near East, nobody ever quite came to the level of the ancient Egyptians at just the kind of wealth that the top folks, I suppose — not everybody — would have. But the top Egyptians had the greatest wealth It was legendary. So Moses' world offered none greater. His luxury that he was raised in was second to none. But in spite of all this comfort and all the doors that his wealth would have opened, Moses made a different choice. And Hebrews 11 tells it like this, beginning in verse 24. It's also going to be on the overhead behind me. By faith, when he had grown up, Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a higher value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses chose purpose over comfort. He chose purpose over popularity, over wealth, over power. Now I want to take a moment just to demystify this idea of purpose, because sometimes when we think of God's purpose, we think of a purpose with a big P. I remember as a teenager, as a young adult, I struggled with what's God's purpose for my life? You know, you think big P, like, does God want me to be a missionary? Or for me, does God want me to be a pastor? What kind of career does God want me to have? What kind of spouse? Who does God want me to marry? We think purpose is in the big P. You know, and some of us, I remember, I was asked, what's God's purpose for you as a teenager? And I remember thinking, you know what? I'm so focused on passing this calculus test that I don't know what my big purpose is. But one of the things that became clear to me and my youth pastor, his name was Andrew Maves, if in the 1% chance, 0.1% chance that he ever hears this, this guy changed my life. And I remember him helping me to see that God's purposes for me, the big P, would only come if I embraced the purposes that God had for me in what you might call the little or medium-sized P. The small purposes that come up each and every day, the things that God calls us all to do. It might be that you are in a conversation with somebody and you can tell that they're hurting, and maybe you just know in the back of your mind, it's like, I need to do something to encourage this person. Maybe my purpose here is to give a word of hope to this person, or maybe you see a need and you know that you can fill it. It could be financial. It could just be that somebody needs help with their groceries, or somebody needs a door opened, and you think, maybe my purpose right now, God's purpose for me, is to meet this need in this moment. Maybe you work for somebody that's awful and terrible and you hate going to work, but maybe God wants to use you, and your purpose in that moment might be to pray for your awful boss. Where's Barb at? Pray for me. Pray for her. She has an awful boss, I'm sure. It could be to be a light to those around you and to be an example of how to live for God in the midst of people that may not be the greatest. Those small things ultimately will reveal the big things. God has promised when you are faithful in the little things, he will trust you to be faithful in the big. And I have found in my own life that when I am faithful to God in the smaller purposes, God begins to reveal the big purposes. So if you are struggling with the big P purposes, maybe what you need to do is not look for the big and start looking for God's smaller, seemingly smaller purposes, because little things add up over time. But what I will tell you is whether it is these small purposes that God calls us all as believers to live toward and to live out in our lives, or it's the major things, the life that God is calling you to, or the one that God is calling you to marry, or the career that God is calling you to enter for his glory. There is power in pursuing God's purpose. In fact, looking throughout Scripture, you'll find multiple things that purpose empowers you to do, and ways that purpose empowers you to live. In fact, I'd say there are three things. If you're a note taker, there are going to be three ways that purpose empowers you to live. And the first is going to be that purpose diminishes distractions. purpose diminishes distractions. And I think distractions is one of the most common thing that derails a lot of us, whether it's social media, and I don't know about you, and it's becoming something that people older and older struggle with, is whether it's social media or it's just having an electronic device, and I don't have my phone up here with me, but I do have an iPad that I preach from. This can be the biggest distraction, or it can be the biggest blessing. And social media has this ability to mindlessly suck you in. And you may find that an hour later, you can't hardly get over that you've just spent the last hour scrolling through Instagram or scrolling through Facebook or whatever it is that happens on Snapchat. I still don't understand, Ashley. But it can suck you in, and it can bleed you dry. But it's not just because it's mindless scrolling. I mean, the internet is full of just mindless things. But I think one of the biggest distractions that have affected me, and this they've actually done studies on this, the biggest thing that has been a detriment to me because of social media and because of the internet is because social media has become a highlight reel for people's lives. And so I post a lot when things are good. I post pictures when I'm on vacation. I post stupid Facebook Live videos when I go to Wegmans in Syracuse. These are highlights for me. And some people would be forgiven for seeing these highlights and thinking, Jordan has it all together. Or some of you may think Jordan has significant mental issues, depending on how you see my life and how you define things that are important. And the problem that I found for myself is that it's so easy to start to compare the way that your life is going with the highlight reel from somebody else's social media. Because most people, don't share their drama on Facebook unless you're like 14, and then everything is drama. But people generally post their highlight reels. And so you see these smiling faces, you see these nice new washed cars, you see the new homes, you see the happy families that are all smiling. And maybe you think to yourself, I can't even get my kids to stand still to take a picture. Or maybe you see the married couple that are smiling on the beach and you just had a fight with your spouse and you're thinking, I wish that for like 1 second I could have what they have. And what I found invariably is that Facebook is creating this dissatisfaction with my life. Because more and more I compare myself to other people. And I find my life to be lacking. And believe it or not, this is even true in my ministry. It is so easy to see what my friends are doing that I went to school with in their churches. To see the level of successes that they've been able to have professionally. And to say, man, I wish we could do that. And sometimes I'll get frustrated because I know, and we know, and if you've been at our church for a long time, we have big dreams as a church. And sometimes we feel like it's just out of reach and it can get frustrating. And sometimes I can get down on myself because it's not that I'm thinking like y'all are terrible. I think like I wish that I knew how to lead better. I wish I knew how I could be more effective as a leader, and I get down on myself. And it's been something that I've struggled with in my life. But realistically, anybody who works professionally has been there in one form or another, where they've compared their careers to somebody else and found themselves lacking. And this was a major struggle for me until I stumbled on to a verse that I've known for my entire life. And it's a verse in Hebrews chapter 12 that we are, I think, all probably familiar with if you've gone to church for a long time. You see, even though life and distractions can come in between me and my purpose, one thing helped me to take my eyes off of my distractions and change the way that I saw my life. And it's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 begins by saying that we need to throw off the sin that trips us up and the things that hold us back. And he says, and then let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And I tell you what, the thing in this verse that hit me right between the eyes is actually the phrase that has eyes in it. Is that I am so good at getting so wrapped up with fixing my eyes on things out there, even good things out there, that I miss Jesus. And for me, my distractions were diminishing my purpose. Just like I mentioned earlier with Peter. Peter, when he had his eyes on Jesus, he did the miraculous, but when he allowed the distractions around him to draw his eyes away from Jesus, he began to sink. And maybe you've been there, maybe you're there right now where the things around you, you know that you should place your eyes on Jesus, but the distractions are so great that you can't help but look away. But it dawned on me that when you zero rate in on Jesus, when you set your focus so intently on him, distractions have a funny way of minimizing themselves. When you focus in on God and his purposes for you, it doesn't matter what the people are doing around you. It doesn't matter to me the successes of somebody else or the houses or the cars or the families that they have. What matters to me is Jesus and what he has called me to do and serving the purpose that he has called me to. It's hard to worry about your friend's job or their house or their family when your eyes are fixed on Jesus. It's hard to look for greener pastures when you have placed your focus squarely on him, because your purpose diminishes distractions. Nehemiah, the man that led the effort to rebuild Jerusalem after Babylon had destroyed the city and led most of Israel into captivity, faced so many distractions in his early days, whether it was from enemies that consistently came and tried to derail his efforts by pulling his focus away from rebuilding the walls, or even from internal, from people that grumbled and complained and didn't think it could ever be done. At one point, when one other person requested a meeting in an attempt to trick and distract Nehemiah, he said this, in Nehemiah 6, verse 3, he said, I am engaged in a great work, so I cannot come. He was so focused on the purposes of God that he couldn't be distracted. He would not stop because he was too busy doing a great work. And I tell you what, when you focus your life and you focus your attention on God and his purposes for you, the distractions around you seem to matter less. They seem to be less important. And your purposes may be confounding to the people around you, and they may try to sidetrack you. I've known many men who have strove to be faithful to their wives, not just avoiding an affair, but not wanting to engage in some of the dirty workplace antics, and they've suffered. Yeah, I mean, small and in the grand scheme, yeah, it's insignificant, but they've been mocked and ridiculed and just joked at and lambasted by their coworkers because they aren't going to engage in the kind of talk that happens sometimes in the workplace or in the locker room. You may be about the purpose of being financially faithful to God, which means maybe you're living below your means when everybody else is living above their means, and people may look at your car or your house and ask you, why? I know that you could do better. Why aren't you doing better? Why aren't you living the way that we're all living? And they may give you a hard time and they may not understand, but when you're about the purposes that God has set for you, those distractions just tend to diminish and lessen, and they quiet down when you face Jesus and you are so focusedly intent on him. Whatever purpose God is calling you, whether it's big P purpose or medium P purpose or small purposes, none are really as small as they seem. Remember, fix your eyes on Jesus, for you are doing a great work. Purpose diminishes distractions. And the second is that purpose pushes you through the pain. Purpose pushes you through the pain. I'm saying a lot of P's. I feel like I'm going to be doing a tongue twister any moment now. But the pathway to purpose is often paved. Wow, I'm doing it again. What is with me? The pathway to your purpose is often paved with pain. I don't know what's going on today. I'm not really big on alliterations usually, but I'm using them today. I went all in. Hebrews 11 reminds us that Moses' pursuit of his purpose required suffering. The author says that he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. In fact, the lives of many of the heroes of our faith are defined by the suffering that they had to undergo before they found their reward. Moses faced the pain of rejection and loss of his luxurious lifestyle. David was belittled by his family. He was hated by his king. He was hunted by soldiers before he took the throne. Nehemiah was confronted by adversaries and enemies on all sides as he sought to rebuild Jerusalem. Even his own people betrayed the work that he was doing. Esther confronted death when she confronted the king of Persia to avoid the annihilation of her people. This trend continues throughout all of Scripture. Mary faced adversity and pain when she was pregnant as a woman before marriage. But as she watched her son fulfill his purpose, she had to know that it was all worth it. Jesus himself went through significant and unimaginable suffering because, again, his purpose before God meant more to him than the suffering. He knew it would all be worth it. And even today, doing what God calls you to do, whatever your purpose is, regardless of if it's small, medium, or large by comparison to your outlook, purpose pushes you through the pain. It reminds me of mothers, honestly. Ladies, I have mad respect for you because I get uncomfortable at the thought of kidney stones. The thought of pushing a watermelon through a garden hose is terrifying to me. But when I talk to mothers, especially mothers that have had multiple children, because when I think of this, I think of one kid, I'd be like, no, done. This story is over. But when I talk to mothers that have had multiple kids, what's amazing to me is that the pain is an afterthought. The pain is not what they focus on. And even those that are crazy slash brave enough to do this completely naturally with no drugs at all, I talk to them and I hear that the pain and the long labor and the discomfort and everything is worth it in that moment when you hold that baby. The purpose pushes you through the pain. It doesn't matter how hard it is, you know that you will have that little precious baby in your arms in either half an hour or 14 to 24 hours. But I've never met a mother who has said it wasn't worth it. Now, maybe 15 years from now, they may question it because teenagers have a tendency to do that to their parents. But new mothers will almost universally say the pain is worth the payoff. And the same is true for us. Hebrews 11 illuminates a bit of Moses' mindset through his suffering when the author writes, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. The hardships that he faced was well worth it because he knew something better was coming. He knew it would all be worth it. And when you live your life for the purpose of God, when you dedicate your life to Him and the things that He has called you to, nothing can stop you. Critics won't, difficult circumstances won't, obstacles won't deter you, pain won't slow you, because purpose diminishes the pain and it pushes you through. When you think you can't pull through, God reminds you that His grace is enough. When you feel as if you're not strong enough, God tells you that when you are weak, then you are strong. When you're tempted to give up, God reminds you that you have great victory through Christ. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, it allows you to push through the pain because you know that His promises are true, and you know that the pain will be worth it, and you know that His grace is sufficient. Allow your purposes to push you through the pain. And finally, purpose empowers you to please God. The story of Moses is that he had to face the decision whether he was going to please God or please his people. In fact, throughout the time that, whether it was before the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, were delivered out of Egypt's bondage, or after, his people weren't particularly impressed with him. They did not care for him before they left Egypt, and they certainly didn't care for him when they were in the desert. They criticized, complained, and even rebelled, but Moses stayed the course because he fixed his eyes on God. He had a decision he had to make. Would he please the people or would he please God? Because more and more I've found that it's a choice you have to make. Too often, they are mutually exclusive. You either choose to please God or you choose to please people. There is often no doing both. But living for God's purposes empowers you to please God. This finds its root in faith. When you place your faith in God, when you fix your eyes on Jesus, you strive to please Him. In the book of Acts, it's the story of the early church. And at one point, the disciples of Jesus are preaching in the temple. Well, that is not something that a lot of the devout Jewish people were particularly happy with, particularly the leaders in the temple. And so they tried to bar the disciples from preaching Jesus crucified and resurrected in the temple. Well, they just straight up wouldn't listen. And in Acts, there is a confrontation where the Jewish leaders in Acts chapter 5 tell them, "Why are you here? We told you to go away. We told you not to preach this Jesus." And Peter and the other apostles made this response. He said, "We must obey God rather than human beings." And for most of these men and these women, they not only were focused on pleasing God, but they were willing to pay the price to please God, because again, their purpose pushed them through the pain. They reminded us that we can't please everybody, but we can please God. When people stand against you for fulfilling the purpose God has given to you, know that God is on your side. When people don't understand and perhaps ridicule you, know that God is with you. When you feel criticized and condemned and condescended to, understand that God walked through this too, and He sees the reward waiting for you because of your faithfulness. This week, the challenge before us is to make the choice to choose purpose over greener pastures, to choose purpose over popularity or power or prestige. Remember what we read in Hebrews 11, verse 26. It's so worth repeating. He, Moses, regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt. And remember, this is the best that anyone could offer because he was looking ahead to a great reward. One of the things that is kind of hard for us to wrap our mind around is that God does bless us. Not always physically on earth. This isn't if you just have faith in God, you will get rich eventually. This is the riches that He offers, whether it's heavenly or it's in the resurrection at the end times, the promise is that a reward far greater than what you could experience here. There may be value in the things of this earth. So I don't want to say that the things that you're having to choose between are bad and good, but they may even be good and great. There is nothing inherently wrong with being well off or being well liked or having things or graduating or having an empty home. These are all good things to have, but remember that what God offers is a far greater value. So this morning, choose purpose. When life pushes back, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. When people criticize you, remember the promised reward. When circumstances are difficult, let your purpose push you through the pain. I choose to run my race. I choose to fix my eyes on Jesus. I choose to live for his purposes through the distractions, through the pain, so that I can please God. I choose purpose over greener pastures. And my hope for you is that you would do the same. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to close today's service with a song that I think is appropriate because it's called Give Me Faith. And I said that this choosing of purpose is very much tied to faith, to believing that God is who he says he is and will do what he said he would do, believing that God will come through, believing that God will give you strength when you're weak, that he will give you resolve, that he will give you victory. And so for some of us, we may not know how we are going to live out the purpose that God has called us to, but maybe through this song, which is in itself a prayer, maybe this is a prayer that you need to have with God to say, God, give me faith to trust what you say and ask him to fill you. The bridge says, I am weak, but your spirit is strong in me. Know that he is strong and that he will give you strength when you don't have it.